This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Streaming now at kzfr.org, and the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and opinions of KZFR staff, board of directors, or its volunteers. For whom the bell tolls, guys, we have a pretty cool show going on tonight for Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. For those who are celebrating and those not, I hope your day is going well. This is going to be Jack Lawrence. I hope you guys like this show. We recorded this a few weeks ago, prepped it all up, and he requested that we have For Whom the Bell Tolls play at the beginning and end of this show. So, there you have it. Hope you guys enjoy the show. But before we begin, don't forget that Right on an Air is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Chico Racquet Club, featuring 8 new pickleball courts, plus pickleball leagues, tournaments, lessons, and more. The Chico Racquet Club also has tennis and sand volleyball and offers the same programs for those two sports. For more information about a membership or a tour of the club, visit ChicoRacquetClub.com or call 530-895-1881. Hope you guys enjoy the show. KZFR, hope you all are having a wonderful night tonight. We have another live guest, although this is a pre-recorded show, so live when I did it, but it'll sound live to you guys. Tonight, we have a graphic designer, professional DJ, and now a published author. Here with us is Jack Lawrence. How are you doing, Jack?
Hey, Kevin, I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Excited to have a new guest in the room. And we talked a bit before. I was trying to figure out if I'd met you somewhere or what happened. How did you hear about the show?
Oh, well, I was researching local writing radio shows online, and I had come across Writing on Air, and I thought your show was pretty cool, so I figured I'd send you guys a message.
I didn't pay him to say that, I promise. So if you want to find the show, just FYI, you can email me at write.onair@gmail.com, write.onair@gmail.com, if you want to be on the show like Jack is. I'm excited because the email I got from Jack was pretty awesome. Your description of the book, I'm going to have to pick up a copy myself and check this out. Can you tell us about your book?
Of course. I've got a synopsis right here.
Yeah, I actually derailed. Would you like me to read that or would you like to read it?
Oh, I can read it.
Cool.
While Zoe looks and sounds like an attractive woman in her 20s, nobody knows that she's actually a robot from space who is programmed to be an intergalactic agent for the mysterious figure known only as the Mask. Her next mission is to bring him a bottle of the most dangerous liquid ever created, the secret sauce. Frustrated from her toxic bond with the Mask, Zoe is ready to take action, but disaster is imminent when she enters a love triangle with Lulu, the party animal, and Chase, the maniac daredevil. It's called Heavy Metal Forever, and it's my first published novel.
Dude, I'm sensing a cult classic coming up right now. Just what if this becomes that? Just know it was on. I got to air you first with it. This is awesome.
I appreciate that.
How okay? I want to ask one question before it. Was this a blast to write?
This was so much fun. There were days when I would write 5-10 pages at a time. Wow. There were also times when I would take a month off from writing altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really had just an amazing time writing this book, and it was so much fun. And I'd love to write some more. So,
oh, dude, well, that's probably my guess is I don't know the ending, and you shouldn't spoil it. But my guess is it looks like there could be a sequel to this one potentially.
Oh well, I'll just leave that up to us.
Got to read the book to find out.
Got to read the book to find out.
Which, speaking of reading the book, you have a passage or a couple pages you wanted to read from it?
I do. Let me flip to that real fast.
Let's dive into it. I'm so excited about this book. When you sent me the email about this and I saw the synopsis, I was I couldn't stop grinning. I was like, this, we have to have this on the show. This is gonna be fun. Okay, I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
There's a lot going on. Okay, let's get started. A woman in leather races down a red, crumbling road on her motorcycle as flames escape from the tailpipe. Steam rises off the lakes in pools of lava on either side of the highway. A swarm of bats flies past her and screeches into the distance. Her vision of the road in front of her is warped by the extreme heat. The red sun blankets the sizzling rocks below. She opens the throttle, and within seconds, she's disappeared from view. A brick castle sits on an island surrounded by a trench of fire. The drawbridge is lowered by 2 massive steel chains as the leather figure rides across to the other side. She enters the castle and parks the motorcycle in front of a large throne made of skulls and bones. Sitting on the throne is a man with the legs of a goat and the skin of a maraschino cherry.
Dude,
Do we have to read this with Metallica in the background at all? Is that a requirement for it?
Most definitely. I have For Whom the Bell Tolls on repeat.
Dude, this is perfect. So just before, if you're tuning in, this is Heavy Metal Forever by Jack Lawrence. This is his first published book, and you just heard a little bit of an excerpt. Can you tell us what was going on in that scene a bit more?
Yes. The idea behind Heavy Metal Forever is that everyone is after the secret sauce, the most dangerous liquid ever created. And the woman on the motorcycle, her name is Eve, and we'll come to find out her place within the battle for the secret sauce.
Battle for the secret sauce. I have to ask a spoiler with me. Is the secret sauce actually a sauce, or is it something much different as you come to find out?
The secret sauce really is a sauce, but the powers and the secret that lie behind it are so astronomically great. They will melt your mind and make your heart explode.
Dude, I'm loving this. Okay, well, I have some more questions then. So did you have any big influences for this book? Anything that what inspired you to write this?
I originally was interested in making a movie, and I wrote 25 pages in a script format.
Whoa.
I then converted that to the start of a novel, and that's how I ended up finishing Heavy Metal Forever. And I am still interested in adapting this book into a movie.
Excellent, man. I don't know if I could do movie things, but just coming spitballing at this point, I do know some directors around town who could probably adapt it to a play first. So, I mean, let's keep talking. Heavy Metal Forever could be in a theater near you soon.
Oh, I would love that.
So, in the process of writing this, was your more challenging part? Was there anything where you kind of couldn't get over? How did the plot line come together? Did it all feel pretty smooth for you once you started writing?
When I first began, I had an idea of what I wanted the beginning to be and what I wanted the ending to be. So I think filling in the middle portion and connecting all the dots as far as the emotional journeys that I wanted each character to go on was really a trip, and it was really an exciting way for me to express my feelings and my emotions.
Beautiful, man. Did you have any other writing experience prior before jumping into a novel?
No.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, first time fully. No poetry, nothing?
No.
Excellent, man, excellent. A lot of people tend to start, I find, in poetry first before they jump into bigger things. So I'm actually quite proud, man. Thanks for diving straight into a novel.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think a little bit more about what I want to know about it, because I'm trying not to just grab the book and start sifting through it, because I'm like chomping at the bit to read this. Can you give us a list of main characters of people we can expect to see in this?
Well, the main character would be Zoe, and you see, she's the robot from outer space who has been programmed to be the secret agent for the mask. So throughout the novel, we'll find a lot about her struggle and her toxic relationship that she has with the mask. And I'm really excited for everyone to finally get to know her and to witness her on this crazy story that she goes on.
Beautiful, beautiful. What was a massive inspiration for starting this, I guess? Was there any like singular character or a song potentially? You said For Whom the Bell Tolls is one of those, but anything
else? That's right.
Else?
I've always been in love with Black Sabbath, and I feel like their music really takes me on a progressive journey, much like songs from Rush or Yes or lots of other bands. And let's see, it was just so exciting to be able to listen to all this heavy metal music and try and create a story that embodied the feeling behind the genre.
Beautiful, man, beautiful. When someone purchases this book and walks away from it, what do you hope they walk away feeling?
I hope that they feel warm and excited, and I want their adrenaline pumping, of course.
Sweet, sweet. Man, dude, I'm stoked. Well, as far as other things that I have that I could mention, how was the publication process? This is your first book kind of getting published. Was it easy for you? Where did you go through? I've got a lot of people that come on the show tend to be interested in the publication process, so I have to ask.
I was able to publish through the Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing Program, which made it fairly easy for a beginner. I'd like to give a shout out to my dad. I had a lot of help from him, and he's published quite a few novels before, so that was very nice of him to give me a helping hand.
Man, having some expertise in that process is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard probably from like 5 different guests that they had a significant challenge with Amazon, and then 5 or 6 other guests who were like, it was the best thing ever. So it's always kind of a coin flip on you, or for anywhere, really. And I guess I've gotten ahead of myself. So we can find this book, obviously, on Amazon. Anywhere else?
Just Amazon for right now. I'm looking to get it published with Barnes & Noble pretty soon, so I'll keep you updated on when that happens.
Sweet. Talk to me a bit about that after, too, for a couple reasons. I had someone go from, I think, Amazon trying to get into Barnes & Noble, and Barnes & Noble wouldn't do it because it was with Amazon. So
let me know how
your process goes, because that might have been old news. That was about 4 years ago that problem happened. So I'm hoping they've fixed that loophole, because you should be able to sell a book anywhere, even if it's on one contract or the other. I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And this show is airing, I believe, on today is probably Christmas. I think that's when we're airing this one. So, you know, pick it up on today and then get it by probably the New Year's is what I would imagine.
That'd be wonderful. This would be a great Christmas present for that guy or girl in your family that really likes to rock out.
Yeah, there we go. And I was curious if, this might put you on the spot, but are there any other segments we can read from your book? I was kind of stoked to read a little bit more too. If there's something else that we can, again, this is totally out of left field, random dive in, but I'd love to hear some more from it.
Yes, we could read some more.
We have a lot of time left in the show, so I would love to hear more.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we've got, well, I'm flipping through the pages right now, and I think there's a scene that I just found that I'd like to read.
Yeah, and before you dive in, I forgot to ask this too. How many pages is your book, just so people can get an idea of what they're getting into?
It's 210 pages.
Cool. A digestible read. Okay, I'll let you dive into it.
Chase and Zoe are sitting at the kitchen table the next morning with 2 mugs in front of them. Chase takes a few sips of coffee and squints. "This is one smooth cup of Java," he whispers loudly. "I'm very selective about my beans," Zoe says as she pumps her eyebrows once. She grabs the coffee pot and pours him another cup. "You must really like this stuff." "I've got to recharge my batteries," he says as he takes another sip. Zoe's head is turned to the side as she stares at Chase. She turns her head to face him without breaking eye contact. "What did you dream about last night?" she asks, as her eyes slowly close. "There's a place on Earth where no human has ever traveled. Out in the desert, 1,000 miles away," Chase says ominously. "Who's going to be the first person to see it?" Zoe asks as she scoots up in her chair. "Not me. I'm not a human," Chase says with reluctant sarcasm. Zoe leans back and smirks. "Neither am I."
Ooh, some plot twists there. Dude, well, I just want to point out too, for a first-time writer, your descriptions of people conversating and stuff like that, very well done. Very, very clear, very concise, and very supportive of a lot of emotional content that's going on in there. So, good job on that.
Oh, thank you. A lot of my dialogue is inspired by the things that I hear from Steven Soderbergh movies.
Oh, excellent, man. Excellent. Another inspiration, Steven Soderbergh. Good stuff. It's escaping me now. I'm terrible with names. Can you give us any movies that he's that people could reference if they don't know his name?
Yes, he did the entire Ocean's 11 series with George Clooney.
Excellent. Okay.
He also has done Haywire and Kimmy, which are 2 fantastic movies.
Oh, okay. Dude, a huge inspiration. I love the Ocean series. That was fantastic. Okay.
Now great music as well.
Yeah, I'm even more stoked to read about this book. Okay, I have 2 questions that popped in my head that I wanted to dive into. So among Zoe is the main character, you said.
Yes.
Among her entire journey here, what was one of the hardest emotional things she had to overcome in this book, if it doesn't give too much away to ask that question?
I think one of her main obstacles is having to view Chase as someone who's in a relationship with Lulu, the party animal, because Chase is the first person that Zoe has ever met. So Zoe has obviously fallen in love with him, and now she's finding it tough to see him with someone else, and she's going to wrestle with that throughout the course of the book.
Oh, dude, a little love triangle going on there. Wow. Okay, excellent, excellent. I also wanted to ask, it popped in my head while you're reading that last little passage. So you said you're a professional DJ for your main job. Was there any crossover in these art styles for you? Did you end up taking skills from your DJ life and putting them into the book? Was anything referenced or crossover? It's kind of a broad question, but if that makes sense.
I found that there's a few different scenes in my book that have a lot of club music behind them. And
cool.
While it's not the easiest to write about what kind of music is going on in the scene, I found that the overall vibe of the nightlife here in Chico is something that really added to the mysterious appeal of my book and how a lot of it is set at night.
Yeah, firsthand DJ, that's kind of what I was thinking about, was like the maybe not the music part, obviously, because it's hard to kind of put that into a writing format, but the vibe of a general music club or someplace that is playing music, that I imagine you have lots of experience firsthand on. So
that's right. And there's a setting in my book called Jack's Shack, which is a space station, and it's almost like a real rowdy bar where people are getting into bare knuckle fist fights. And oh geez, that was just such a fun part to write, and definitely working at a bar helped me get to that point.
Did you reference any actual bar fights into this book?
Thankfully we haven't had too many bar fights where I work right now.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was just worried about that one. Well, my next question would be, among this writing process for yourself, was there one scene in your head that sticks out as maybe a favorite scene for you that you got to write?
Yes, there is. I would say the very last scene. I really wanted the book to just keep building and unraveling into a story that kept getting more and more complex while still having just enough for you to want more. And so I think once you get towards the very end of the book and you find Zoe in a place where, I don't want to spoil too much, it's just, it makes me so happy that I finally got to finish it.
The culmination. I like hearing that too. It's different for everyone doing writing, period. Everyone has a different experience and different challenges and different obstacles, different things that make it easier for them or not. And I would say on like a pretty heavy ratio, maybe like 50% more, people do tend to struggle with the endings. So that's a new answer that I don't usually hear, is that you're proud and stoked for the ending because you went out hard with it. That's pretty cool.
I just remember seeing movies when I was younger, especially Looper, directed by Ryan Johnson. Yep. That ending had always stuck with me more than anything else, and I wanted something that could really cap off the story in a satisfying way.
Beautiful. How long did it take you to write this book?
It took me a whole year to write this book.
Dude, well, a whole year, but also only a year for this.
That's right.
Pretty impressive. How was your editing process? Did you end up having to get an editor? Was it just you and your dad, or just review? How did that look?
It was me reading it multiple times over, just making sure that everything was looking good at the end.
Good. That's a good idea. Among that, was there a least favorite scene that you didn't like? Or when you wrote it, you were just like, this one, I don't know, I couldn't hit it, wasn't full out of the park? Or did you kind of, when this was all put together, you just went, no, I'm satisfied with all of this?
I think that there are plenty of scenes that I love. And then I think that there are a couple scenes that you most definitely need and you like a lot. And it's a thrill ride from start to end, but it's also a little bit of a slow burn as well. So cool, it just keeps getting crazier the more you read it.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're kind of nearing the last, 10, 13 minutes of the show. So I'll kind of open up with some broader questions then. It took you a year to write this. Did you set yourself on any schedule? Were you trying to achieve it in a year? Or was this just I'm going to go until it's done type of undertaking?
I was convinced that if I set any sort of schedule for myself, then I would have been frustrated and I wouldn't have wanted to stick to it. So I decided to just pick up my laptop whenever I had free time and knock off maybe half a page or a couple pages here and there. And what was nice was I got to take a few weeks off if I hit a roadblock. And then once I got the juices flowing again, I could hit the ground running.
The nice thing I'll say, weighing in on that, I think that's beautiful. Well done. Because, man, after my own heart, I don't I resist schedules immensely. And so whenever I get a chance to have some like free, open, artistic time with myself, rarely do I put a structured schedule over that, because I find that it, for me and only for me, it can feel constraining and sometimes make me feel anxious to have something to be like, has to be done now, has to be done this time. I like to free flow with it, because there are days where I'm just not feeling it. I only write maybe two poems or one poem or half a poem and go, I think I'm done for the rest of the week, and then I have to move on. So having a non-structured, but a goal at the end of a non-structured challenge, like writing a book, that's a great way to go about it, I think.
Oh, thank you. It was very exciting to write.
Yeah. And people listening too, take some heart in that. Yes, it requires discipline and focus to write something of any length. Even a small couple line poem, it does require some extensive like thought and focus on it. But as long as you're chipping away at it, it can get done, and in under a year potentially too.
That's right. I thought it would take me a few years, and here I am, because once I started writing more and more and I got past the halfway point, it just kept getting easier and easier. It's like carving a statue out of a piece of wood or a marble or something like that.
Beautiful, man. And I think this is a beautiful picturesque marble structure right now that you have. Heavy metal forever. Did you end up having to have a lot of extensive notes, or did you have like diagrams that you referenced for that? Was there a map you ended up putting with this, or was it kind of just only in your head?
I actually had about 10 pages of notes that I kept in the same document that I was writing the book in, so I could constantly scroll towards the end and reference what I wanted the next scene to be, and the scene in the middle and the scene in the end. So it was nice to have all that extra info to go back to.
If someone, well, actually, let me step back before that question. Was there a moment where you knew, I have to write a book about this idea? Do you remember that at all?
I do. I was riding around in my car, and I was thinking, oh, well, there's this character that I really want to see in a movie, but it just doesn't exist yet. And I know that if someone's going to take the movie seriously, it's probably because there's a book behind it first. So why don't I just kill two birds with one stone, make the book, and then make the movie afterwards.
And in this case, I'm going to say confidently, the book will be as good as the movie. We'll just put it that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Usually there's a little step down in quality there, but not if you're at the helm of this. So moving forward to my next broader ending question, and this one, take as much time as you want. A few people are just like, just do it. And that's a great answer. But if you have more, do let me know. Advice for a new person who has never written before. You're in a very unique position where you have had no background with writing, which is where a lot of people who listen on the show also don't have any background in writing. And starting with a book, that's a pretty monumental task. What advice would you give people who have not written before to start a project like this?
I would say maybe expose yourself to as much books and TV and media as possible, and see where your real inspiration lies, because there's nothing new under the sun, and lots of stories have been told before, but it's fun to come up with them in different ways and try out different dialogue and just make it your own. So find something that you really love and you're really passionate about, and write about that.
Excellent, man. I completely agree with that. I think the statement you said of there's nothing new under the sun, that one hit me. I almost fell out of my seat for that one. I think that's totally true, but I do highly encourage people, you know, sometimes your head puts things together in very what are seemingly novel ways, and it's worth sharing. And I find that putting it into a book or a poem or a haiku or something is a really sound spot to do that, especially because once it's on the paper, you can go back and retouch it up, you can change it. It's there permanently. Having 11 pages of notes, it's, you know, you can always reference these things constantly. And as far as inspiration goes, because I wanted to weigh on that too, that was a great comment. Yeah, expose yourself to lots of different media forms. There's a lot of stuff out there. And I would say, just an air of caution, it would be a really bummer thing to write a whole book and then read it afterwards and then show it to someone and have them go, oh, that's exactly like this other movie that just came out last year. Which, I say that from a note of personal experience, because when I was much younger trying to write my first book, it looked a lot like Aragon from Christopher Pallone. And I was really stoked, and I wrote probably something like 100 pages and didn't even realize that I was probably almost verbatim copying the book that I had just read like a month or two earlier. So the nice thing about having lots of different sources of media and art form is that when your brain does do its creative process and you put a lot of stuff together, for it to come out novel, it'll draw from all those sources and provide something new that won't quite feel like Star Wars or quite like Star Trek. It'll have a combination of it. And that's how we share our meaning as humans, really, as we hearken and not hearken is the wrong word for, well, maybe it is. We pull from different areas and have like small, quiet nods throughout our art pieces. Like, hey, thanks for that. Thanks for the inspiration. Was there one over the other that when we read this, we'll go, ah, this reminds me of anything in your book like that?
Oh, there's so many different pieces that I drew from. I think it might be impossible, but you can sense in the book that I have pieces taken from Lilo and Stitch.
Cool.
Pieces taken from Blade Runner. Right? There's lots of different components going on in the book. And I think just the fact that I was raised on rated R 80s action movies really steered me in a very specific direction.
I see. And I didn't even get to describe this book. The cover is Heavy Metal Forever in bold red and black print at the top. And then I'm assuming that's a picture of Zoe in the middle. And then who are the other characters on the cover of this book? Red, black flames, and it looks like a star cosmic background.
On the cover, I have photos of Chase, Lulu, The Mask, and Eve.
Who did your artwork, by the way, for this?
I did all of my own artwork. It is a combination of oil painting and Photoshop work.
Well, I didn't put that in the intro that you're also a drawer and an artist on that. Multi-talented Renaissance man. I love it, dude.
Thank you.
Did you have, well, I guess I should ask, what was the feeling when you finished this book? How did that feel?
This is the biggest project I have ever worked on, so I would only go with pure euphoria.
Dude. Was it firmly under a year? Did it go over just a little bit?
It was around a year. I think I had started maybe in October of 23, and then I had just ended, I had just published this about a month ago from today, today being November 20-something.
Yeah. That's right. We're recording this on November, and then it'll air on Christmas. So, excellent, man. I'm trying to think of any last-minute questions that I have, but I think we should start. Where can we find your book?
You can find it on Amazon if you search for Heavy Metal Forever by Jack Lawrence.
Excellent. And do we have any book signings coming up soon?
Not anytime soon, but I'll let you know if I do.
And if you do, come back on the show, and we'll re-air it again, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, you bet.
And I wanted to read the back one more time for anyone who hadn't heard this, because I thought that was excellent.
Okay.
While Zoe looks and sounds like an attractive woman in her 20s, nobody knows that she's actually a robot from space who was programmed to be an intergalactic agent for the mysterious figure known only as the Mask. Her next mission is to bring him a bottle of the most dangerous liquid ever created, the secret sauce. Frustrated from her toxic bond with the Mask, Zoe is ready to take action, but disaster is imminent when she enters a love triangle with Lulu, the party animal, and Chase, the maniac daredevil. And again, this is by Jack Lawrence, fresh off the prints, has only been out for about a month now, about 2 months by the time this has aired. Any last words, Jack?
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show, Kevin. I really appreciate it, and I love talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks, man. I'm really glad you found us. And if anyone else wants to air their work or talk about writing or come on and maybe potentially be a co-host, you can contact me, Kevin, at write.onair@gmail.com, WRITE.onair@gmail.com. Otherwise, have a good night, everyone, and stay tuned for his book, Heavy Metal Forever by Jack Lawrence. Have a good night, everyone.
All right, hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, Merry Christmas, everyone. Right on Air is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Pageant Theater, celebrating the art and film community by bringing independent world cinema, documentary, cult, and classic films to 6th and Flume in downtown Chico, an authentic neighborhood art house theater experience since 1980. The Pageant offers organic popcorn with vegan options, local beer, and more. Details at pageantchico.com. All right, take a swig, Metallica. Up next is a bunch of Christmas classics and a whole bunch coming up.